ko te wā tēnei mō Heps Picks.
Yes, that's right. It is time for the sickest segment of the week. It's time for Peps Picks with the one, the only, Mr. Martin Pepperell. Good morning, Martin.
Kia ora.
How are we?
I'm okay.
Just okay.
It's a bit, it's not too cold. A little bit damp.
It is so...
Wonder whether it's going to rain again.
Oh, it's soaking wet here.
Spring in Aotearoa and Te Waipanamu. It's the rainy season.
It is. And do you know what I had to do? And I've not been once provoked to do this, but my pants were so wet. I had to take them off and hang them from the air conditioner.
You might want to get some waterproof pants.
I know, but like, where do you get those?
Oh, look, go have a chat with Rosie at Nifty. I'm sure they can work something out for you.
Yeah, okay, well, I was worried I'd have to go to, like, a Kathmandu or something, you know.
Yeah, drive down to Nifty and
heterosexual
look, Rosie,
like that.
Look, Rosie, this is what I need, you know, and they'll just, when something comes in, they'll let you know.
Yeah, and Rosie's good like that.
Hey, speaking of fashion.
Speaking of fashion.
Speaking of fashion, the fashion is the segue today.
Yeah. doesn't really work, but...
No, it does.
Okay, right. Hey.
It does, I'll tell you why. Okay?
Segue me.
Okay, so today we're talking about something that... I'm not going to say it completely caught me out of left field, because I've been expecting someone would do this for a while. But it did take me a little bit out of left field. So a couple of record labels in the UK, Emotional Rescue and Utopia Originals, have teamed up to reissue an obscure 80s dance pop EP that was recorded in Auckland, circa about 1986. The group is called Obscure Desire. The EP is called Obscure Desire. This is one of the great, most rare, most exclusive, most hard to find, but actually good classic records that came out of the country at the time. So it's pretty cool that decades later it's getting some more life, and it'll be great for everyone who's been trying to buy a copy, because who wants to pay $500 for a record on Discogs? Not I.
Right, so it's sort of it's got a bit of a legendary status.
Oh, it's coveted.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Coveted.
Wow.
It's very coveted. Now the fashion segue. So the people who made this, they became friends while working at a fashion boutique and hair salon.
Oh yeah.
Obscure Desire.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. It is a good segue.
Yeah, look, it's an exceptional segue. So anyway, there's three people who are working there: Andrew Waldegrave, Grant Mitchell, and Giselle Trezevant. They become friends working at the salon and boutique. They're going out partying in the clubs in Auckland in the 80s. This is an era when different groups of people were really starting to mix more in Auckland nightlife. You had the goths and the rasters and the punks and the hip-hop kids and the fashionistas and all these people coming together at these clubs in the central city with great DJs playing mixed open format sets. There's a whole crossover starting to emerge with the local fashion industry.
Mm-hmm,
people are doing multimedia elements at events. It's just this fun, really creative time. So, you know, these three buddies, they're in it during the day working. They're partying together at night. Andrew had a musical background as a trained pianist and had dropped out of a music degree because, Auckland nightlife was far more interesting to him at the time than doing all their studies.
Of course, yeah.
So him and his buddies... They were like, oh, man, all this music's great, all this party's great, but how come none of the records are being made by people from here.
Right, right. As in New Zealand.
There were some. Yeah, and to be fair, you know, there were some, like, there were groups like the Body Electric and, you know, there were a couple of Chols records that would get played in nightclubs and things like that. But they were like, okay, well, what if we were making this sort of, you know, this electro, this synth pop, new wave dance pop music? What if we were making it from our sort of art and fashion scene perspective? So they started doing some stuff at home with 16-track desk, and eventually they made their way into Harlequin Studios. They had the full 24-track. This was after meeting Trevor Reiki, who was the head of Pagan Records, which is a label that released a lot of really great stuff in the 80s. People like Adi Jar, film soundtracks for movies like Bridge to Nowhere, people like Shona Lang. So, you know, they got together, you know, Trevor was a musician as well, so he helped them out, adding some guitars. They did sort of some basic sampling, vocal cut-ups and things, made a set of tracks. So there's the self-titled track, Obscure Desire, and then there was a nice little instrumental electro track called Bullet, slightly more poppy track called I Wonder, and then they had this great track called 4A, which was in a dream pop mode with simple French lyrics. So the record came out in 86, very minimal support, maybe a bit of student radio play. Certain club DJs picked it up and played it. At one point, some of the music ended up in the soundtrack for, there was a TV show that's name slips my mind, but a TV show that was sort of a Shortland Street style thing set in central Auckland, a little bit more about the inner city scene.
All right.
Used in that. Everyone went on with their lives. People forgot about the record. Slowly over the decades, it acquired this cult status. People started selling it for absurdly high prices. And now we arrive at this moment where it's coming back affordably.
Wow.
So that's nice. It's nice for the narrative. It's always sort of the same narrative, isn't it? You know, it gets forgotten, gets rediscovered.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Up. Yeah, it's definitely a story we've had a couple of times. It's so interesting how, like, these things open to no fanfare and then build over time. I find that so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's worth thinking about, because I think it really illustrates how much luck and timing is a factor.
Yes, I think it does, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes your luck and timing just isn't on your side. The conditions aren't quite right. And then later on, like, things realign. There's also this whole thing also where sometimes the way something sounds in the heat of the moment, it's different to how it sounds later on when a new set of people hear it who weren't there at the time.
Totally.
I suspect that even though, you know, there was a lot of great stuff going around the idea that counterculture New Zealand music could have mainstream success in the 80s, like, I'm not sure exactly, but I feel like within the club space it still would have been quite a challenge to get the DJs to play local records, because people were so locked into their journey with playing sounds from the UK and the US
maybe the Caribbean. Right. And that's such and that small country syndrome as well, you know, I think it always will be the case where we want to play the things from bigger, busier, more exciting places.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, people sort of talk about this idea of tall poppy syndrome like it's a thing that is specific to New Zealand.
But yeah, yeah.
Actually, like, when you sort of, you know, have conversations with people in different countries around the world, you find different iterations of this idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
Everywhere. You know, I remember encountering it in the Ivory Coast in West Africa. There was this idea of the tall flowers, and people trying to chop down the tall flowers, and you know, people sort of pushing back and being like, "No, our garden needs its flowers."
Right. So literally, so identical, basically, to tall poppies.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like these things. But anyway, time goes on.
Yes.
Time goes on. The next generation's ears work differently, or they hear the music for the music. They don't hear the cultural or social baggage of the time. Trends change in music. Pockets emerge. And we arrive in this moment where, you know, a lot of people are as interested as in music from the past as they are in music from the present, or in some cases they're more interested in music from the past, but they're not interested in music from the past for this nostalgic idea of things were better when I was younger, because they weren't younger then, they weren't born then, they're just interested. Hey, this is all the stuff we can draw from. It's the whole digital thing. It's just such a collapse. I mean, you go back 20, 25 years, and it's sort of, okay, we're going to get music. You go to the record store. What can you get? What have they got in stock? What's in stock? What's in stock is what's in currently in print. Or maybe, like, they've got a secondhand section, or there's a secondhand store. You might find some stuff that's a bit older. But, I mean, this huge scope and range, being able to access music from anywhere, from any period of time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, there were places like, you know, certain record stores in Japan were probably already doing that quite effectively 20, 25 years ago. But, not everyone got to that point, and we're at that point now. So it's cool. As a byproduct of it, records like this get another life.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And it's interesting because I have a semi-obsession with a Rolling Stone magazine. We'll go back and, like, review old albums as if it's, you know, just come out type thing. And I'm just fascinated by that concept of kind of re-reviewing things in a new context. It's really interesting.
I think you've got to do it, because if you don't want a story to be forgotten...
Yeah.
You need to keep retelling it, and probably retelling it using the mediums of the day. So it makes sense that you'd have these sort of reappraisals online, and it makes sense that, you know, you see people who, well, I don't actually know this, but I'm pretty sure that there's people on TikTok who do little videos about old albums, you know, with their opinions on them and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Music talk is quite interesting, actually. There's a lot going on.
Of course.
There's a wild conspiracy theory about Beyonce being, like, this dictator of the music industry.
Look, you know, the idea of who's the dictator of the music industry moves around a little bit. You know, every few years there's a new superstar calling the shots.
That's right. Look, Barbra Streisand will always be my dictator. What can I say?
There you go. Heart on the sleeve. So I'm listening to some Fashion Boutique hair salon music.
Yes, that's great. Great name for it. Martin, have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Peace.
And there's wonderful Mr. Martin Pepperell talking about Obscure Desire, his pick today. Do enjoy this. Oh, so excited to play it.
ko te wā tēnei mō Hips Picks.